Hello and welcome to another Sustainable Wine Podcast. I'm Toby Webb. I'm here with Dom DeVille from the Wine Society. So welcome to the Sustainable Wine Roundtable Podcast, Dom. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you, Toby.
Good. So just for the listeners to know who you are and what you do, what do you do and who are you?
So my name is Dom DeVille, as you said. I am Director of Sustainability and Social Impact at the Wine Society. For those of you who don't know, the Wine Society is essentially a wine retailer. The difference is we're member-owned, so we're a cooperative. Been around for about 150 years.
Okay, I must declare an interest here. My family have been members of the Wine Society for about 80 years, and I've been for about 20. I highly recommend it for those of you in the UK. Save some money and get some great wines. Now, the Wine Society is a founding member of the Sustainable Wine Roundtable, and you're doing lots of good work with us and on your own. And one of the things you've done recently is launched a carbon report. What is a carbon report, Dom, and why have you done it?
It covers three things. It covers the results of our carbon footprint calculation, how much greenhouse gases are we producing across our entire business and supply chain. So that's scope one, scope two, and scope three. It then covers a refresh of our carbon reduction targets. So we'd already published them a while ago. Going through this process of identifying all our emissions and where they come from has helped us really understand where we need to prioritize, and we've taken another look at those targets to make sure that they're right and achievable. And then it covers a roadmap for how we're going to go about reducing emissions over the next 10 years. And the reason we published it, because you don't see a lot of organizations publishing their detailed roadmap, but we're a member-owned organization. We want to give our members the confidence that we're taking climate change seriously, that we've got a proper plan in place, and they've got something that they can refer back to hold us to account. And we've been really transparent in this report. It's a big commitment, but we've been really transparent about what we can do, what we don't know yet, and so that they can track our progress. And then the second reason why we were keen to publish it is because tackling climate change is a shared responsibility. We don't see it as a commercial battleground. We want to share our work with the sector. The roadmap is not perfect, but others can use it, they can learn from it, and hopefully it's going to contribute to the fast-growing wealth of information that there is out there on how to go about tackling climate change.
So let's have some context here. What is your footprint? And I guess related to that initially, how big is your business? Give the listener a sense of what your scope is in terms of operation.
So we have somewhere just under 200,000 members. We sell about 12 million bottles of wine a year. That produces 16,488 tons of carbon a year. We did produce an additional 1,874 tons of carbon that year because we built a new warehouse.
That's scope one and scope two is what you're talking about.
No, so that's 16,488 is our total scope one, two, and three carbon emissions. There is an additional 1,874 on top of that, because we built a warehouse that year, but we're not including that in our total because we're not going to reduce against that each year. It would be a one-off thing. But the 16,488 is our one, two, and three emissions that we now need to start reducing over the next 10 years. To put it into context, these are never a precise comparisons, but it's somewhere around the equivalent of powering 6,300 UK homes per year, for example. It works out at 1.35 kilograms of carbon per bottle of wine, which incidentally is about the same weight as the wine itself once in a bottle. So imagine holding a full bottle of wine, same weight of carbon is produced creating that wine and bringing it.
That's a really nice stat for bringing it to life, isn't it? That's a great way of talking to your customers about what the footprint is, and then you can talk about how you're planning to reduce it. Yeah. Where are your main emissions hotspots?
It breaks down as 6% of our emissions are scope one and scope two. So that's things that we can directly control. Then the 94% is from our supply chain. So that's our scope three emissions. It breaks down as 31% is from glass, and that's just the manufacture and disposal of the glass bottles. 17% is from growing grapes. 15% is from bringing the wine from the wineries to our warehouses in Stevenage. 11% is from other packaging, so that will be your corks, labels, screw caps, things like that. So that means totally packaging is 42%.
And when you say growing grapes, you actually mean also processing grapes, right? So is that 70% vineyard and winery?
It is, yes. So it's growing the grapes and processing. Yes, you're right. Then 9% is from other goods and services that we buy to run the business. So that'll be professional services, maintenance of our site, IT, things like that. 6% is transporting the wine from our warehouses in Stevenage to members' doors, either by our own vans or by our third-party carrier. 6% is operations. So that's essentially the electricity, gas, waste we use and produce. And then the final 6% is from our published materials. We send out quite frequently paper published materials to our members to tell them about what we're doing, the wines that we've got in our range, so forth. That's where that 100% comes from. Glass was definitely, in a way, was a surprise. In a way, it wasn't a surprise. It's quite well known what a big percentage it is. But when you see it in that black and white, it really brings it to life.
What sort of goals have you set yourselves on carbon emissions reduction, and how ambitious is it? The winery is, you know, you could argue you should have done this as an organisation 10 years
ago. Yeah.
But the wine industry is a bit behind. It doesn't have the NGOs. It doesn't have the pressure. We are where we are. But what are the goals?
We've said we're going to be the equivalent of carbon neutral next year. So that means that we're going to invest in carbon removal programs to balance out some of our emissions. That's our first milestone. Second milestone is to be zero emissions for scope 1 and scope 2 by 2028. So that's things that we own. Then 50% reduction in scope 3 emissions by 2032. And then that takes us to our ultimate goal, 2040, being net zero, scope 1, 2 and 3.
Okay. Now, you've been involved since the beginning as an organisation with the Sustainable Wine Roundtable. What kind of work are you doing with us around carbon reduction?
Two things, I'd say. One on bottle weight reductions. That's the weight of the glass bottles. So this is really important. Our average bottle weight is somewhere around 470 grams. That's for still table wine. We need to get that down to closer to 400. But in order to do that as quickly as possible, we want the whole sector doing the same thing. So we've been working with the Sustainable Wine Roundtable to put together a piece of research that enables us all together across the whole sector to set a reduction target on glass bottle weights that we can all get behind, that is achievable. It pushes us, yes, but it's sensible and achievable, and also sets out the actions that the whole value chain needs to take. So this isn't just about retailers saying, white producers, this is our target, you go ahead and do it. It's about, how do we help you? What does the whole value chain need to do for us to all to be successful?
Yeah, just to clarify for the listener, SWR has created what we're calling a bottle weight accord. We've got about half a dozen retailers, such as the Wine Society and others, who are signing up to this kind of reduction. And more on that will be available very soon, including the report that creates the evidence base. So that's one area.
Yeah.
You've talked about the equivalent of being carbon neutral. We talked about that. But also insetting is something you've been putting in your literature. It's something you and I are working together on through SWR to try and figure out what that means for wine. What do you mean by it?
Even if we reduce our emissions as far as is reasonably humanly possible, there's still going to be residual emissions in our supply chain. It might be that by 2040, we can get to an 80, 90% reduction in our carbon emissions. There's going to be those residual emissions. So we need to invest in carbon removal programs to balance out those remaining residual emissions. Two ways primarily you can do it. You can invest into offsetting schemes, and there are some great ones out there. But for us, because we work with almost 1,000 suppliers around the world, we have direct contacts with vineyards and vineyard owners. We want to invest that money in our own supply chain. It's often called insetting, although I don't think that term is officially defined. But essentially, it's investing in nature-based solutions to remove carbon from the atmosphere into the vineyard, whether that's into trees, into the soil, through more regenerative farming practices, for example, to hedgerows, to wetlands, to other conservation and restoration projects. We don't know yet. Those are all good alternatives. And the work that we're going to be doing over this year and the work that we're looking to do with the Sustainable Wine Roundtable is to identify what are those projects that we could invest in that can remove carbon from the atmosphere at scale. Others can then take up.
Well, and part of the interest we have in this is the SWR is wine has this inherent traceability built in, which is amazing, as such an advantage. And then last year I was in Portugal and looking at estates where there's 900 hectares of land effectively preserved and enhanced by the income from, say, 50, 60 hectares of grapes. And there's cork oak on there, there's olives, there's animals. But it's really the money from the vineyard that's saving the estate. And the opportunity there for an organisation like yours to say to a customer, right, our carbon is being placed in this land and this is the story of the land, is an amazing customer engagement opportunity. So we're not just looking at Portugal, we're looking at anywhere we can. And any listener who wants to get in touch to work with us on it, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Yeah. We want to set up a few pilot projects. The structural challenges, they're all they're around developing an insetting programme. Because not many people really know how to do it. So we're trying to work on how that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a new thing. And there's all sorts of issues around, okay, well, how do you account for the carbon that's been sequestered into that vineyard? How do you measure it? Can you officially call yourself carbon neutral? There are all sorts of issues like that that need to be worked through, which is why we're saying the equivalent of carbon neutral from our side. But actually, we just think this is a really good opportunity to learn about the potential for vineyards to play a greater role in the fight against climate change and drawing more carbon into those vineyards.
Yeah.
Either through, as I said earlier, through more regenerative farming practices or potentially through the use of unproductive spaces that they have in those vineyards.
We're here today at the Future Food Conference in Amsterdam. And one of the things that's being discussed here is nature positive approaches. You know, we can start with carbon, we can measure it, but actually an insetting program needs to head towards nature positive. We just don't know how to measure that at the moment. Although there are ways of setting baselines, checking what's out there. So I suppose the long-term plan would be that an organization like the Wine Society assesses its nature footprint, which includes GHGs, and becomes nature positive.
Yeah.
But that's going to take us a few years, I would have thought, at least.
Definitely, yeah. We did have it in our original sustainability plan to do a biodiversity footprint across our whole supply chain. I think we put that on pause for a year or two because it's just such a big job.
It's a huge job.
Yeah.
It's a huge job. So going back to scope one, scope two, how are you going to reduce emissions from your own operations and energy sourcing down to zero by 2028? It's not that far away.
It's not, no. And some of it's easy and some of it's already been done and some of it's more tricky. So basically, this is about not burning fossil fuels from the things that we own. We have a delivery fleet of around 35 vans, moving those to electric or another zero emission technology. That's difficult because our vans transport about a ton of wine when they leave the depot and they travel nearly 200 miles a day. That's a heavy payload, quite a big distance. There just isn't the technology there at the moment. We need that technology to come to help us hit that goal. The other things that we need to do is only purchasing renewable energy, electricity. So we've done that, and that immediately halved our scope one, scope two emissions. But we want to go further and actually generate our own renewable electricity. So we've got a plan over the next 5 years to put a lot more solar on our warehouse roofs. And we reckon we can get to about generating 80% of our own renewable energy by about 2028. And then the other two things we've got to do, move our boilers from gas to electric and then upgrade our air conditioning units because they're older models, they leak greenhouse gases at the moment. We need to put new models in that run off low global warming potential gases and have much less leakage. It's mostly around capital investment, actually, to do those things.
Yeah.
And we think we can do that over the next 5 years, but we need the van technology to improve quickly.
And also, you know, there are some studies of the full life cycle of electric vehicles that show they don't actually net out many more emissions, often fewer emissions than petrol engine cars. But of course, there are many other benefits such as cleaner air.
Yeah.
And you can't solve every problem. I mean, you know, there's a fundamental energy problem, which the Wine Society isn't going to solve unless you have a particular brain breakthrough. Just to finish off then, we've talked about insetting, but how else are you going to reduce scope 3 emissions by 2032? I mean, I've been to some vineyards in Spain where they're putting solar panels above the grapes to protect them from the sun. Now, that isn't without problems because you've got ripening issues and, you know, it's one of those things that sounds like a great idea. And then you go and talk to them and say, look, we want to do this. However, it's not that easy as a ripening itself. So what are the other opportunities then?
As I said earlier, 94% of our emissions come from our supply chain. This is the harder bit. It's much less within our control. We've created this roadmap. It's a 10-year plan. So we've split it into our emission hotspots. That's packaging, wine production, our marketing materials, our third-party logistics, and then operations on our side. We then prioritize those actions according to what we've got direct influence over. Packaging would be an example of that. What we've got reasonable influence over. So that might be viticultural practices, farming practices. And then what we've got low influence over. So that might be professional services. So getting our IT service provider to reduce their emissions. That's going to be hard to do. We've then created plans for each of those five emission hotspots and estimated the carbon reductions those will bring. We set all this out in our report, but to give an example of the kind of action plan that will be in there, we know that glass accounts for 31% of our emissions. We need to reduce emissions from glass, and we can do that in three ways. One, reducing bottle weights, getting our bottles down to 400 grams or below. And we've set a bottle weight reduction target now that from 2027, 100% of our range will be in lightweight bottles. Secondly, we need to use more lower carbon packaging. So if we move about 20% of our sales volume into something like bag-in-box, that's going to avoid about 900 tons of carbon a year. We've got a plan to put more of our wines into alternative lower carbon packaging. And then third area we need to do is do more bulk shipping, using flexi tanks that fill up containers, ship into the UK in those, and then bottle here. We've got plans like that for every one of our priority areas, and we've estimated the carbon reductions each of those will bring. It only gets us when you combine them all to about 34%. We've said we're going to reduce by 50%. So there's that 16% gap that we just don't know how to do.
Offsets or incenting? Effectively, over time.
Or I think it's going to be just the general decarbonisation of the economy. As shipping starts to invest in lower carbon shipping, that's going to help.
Yeah.
There'll be new ideas and new technologies and new processes that come along over the next 10 years. So we need to keep readjusting and reevaluating this plan every year so that we're covering that gap. It's not perfect. You know, as I say, we don't have all the answers. We've got a prioritised plan to be getting on with. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, well, congratulations on all the progress you've made so far. I mean, you've not been in the role long, so I think you're getting a lot done. We're enjoying working with you. Listeners, Sustainable Wine Roundtable has created the Bottle Weight Accord with Dom, colleagues at the Wine Society, and another group of retailers, about 6-7 in total. As I mentioned before, we'll be publishing more news on that very soon. We're also working on areas like labour standards, creating a unified approach to those, on vineyard inputs, creating a way to look at sustainable chemistry that means we can scale regenerative approaches without having to get stuck in the organic trap. And there's various programs we're launching around low carbon distribution and logistics with our members as well to help them save money and coordinate and collaborate. So if you're interested in joining SWR, just go to swroundtable.org. In the meantime, Dom, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Toby.